There are two major considerations here. One is that one has to have faith. Not blind faith, but Shastra-based faith. And another consideration, balancing consideration, is that one should endeavor to understand Siddhanta and in this way be Shastra Chakshuhu, see through the eye of Shastra. See through the eye of Shastra means Shastra as delivered and explained by sadhus and gurus. Now, Srila Prabhupada explained that if you want to purchase something, you have to have some initial idea of what you want to purchase. You may not be an expert in understanding, for instance, how or what is a good amplifier. But if you want to buy an amplifier, you should go to the electrical appliances shop and not to the barber shop. There should be some basic idea of what an amplifier is and what you expect to get from it. Therefore, we find in Shastra, tadvijnanartham sagurumeva abhigacchat. Tadvijnana, for the sake of that scientific knowledge of understanding the absolute truth, one should approach a guru. So, one should have some initial knowledge. And then, Shraddha. Shraddha means to place one's heart into. It's translated as having faith. Now, that faith will develop according to one's motive and motivation. Everyone in this world has some kind of faith. That stated in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. Everyone has some kind of faith, and people are classified according to their faith in the modes of nature. So, Bhagyavanjan, a fortunate person will have the seed of bhakti planted in his heart by the grace of Guru and Krishna. That means that someone who is actually looking or sincere to get the truth, they will have that seed of bhakti planted in them. Or it may be given by the merciful devotee, it may be offered by the merciful devotee, even to someone who is not looking for the truth, but if they find someone who might be eligible to take it. Just like Narada with Daksha. He thought that Daksha was now feeling mortified due to the loss of two sets of his sons. So Narada approached Daksha with the intention to put Daksha on the path toward Krishna. But Daksha, he wasn't sincere for that, and he didn't take the offering of the seed of bhakti which Narada wanted to give to him. Maharaj Prachina Barhishat is another example of someone who wasn't really looking for the truth, but he was given it by Narada Muni. But in general, the Bhagyavan person means someone who is looking for the truth, who has some motivation, who's ready to accept that, the seed of bhakti. So, usually when people come to Krishna consciousness, actually in pretty much every case, it's not that they've studied every single shastra and come to a conclusion, because you couldn't do that anyway without guidance from a guru. If you just took the Shastra, first of all, why would you go to Shastra? And even if you go to Shastra, there are so many Shastras, and to understand the message, even to study the message, even to understand the Bhagavatam, first of all, you have to be learned in Sanskrit, and then to find out the meaning without any guidance is the actual meaning and all the nuances and ramifications is impossible. So one places one's faith in a person who by the study, by seeing the characteristics of that person, then one's faith awakens that here is a person who can guide properly. Or it may be just the beginning. It's not that when the beginning one has complete faith, but one is enjoined to see, to hear the Shastric explanations by that person, and then take instruction. And then as that faith develops, that this person is representing the message of Shastra, their faith develops, pratyaksha gavamam dharmyam, by practically applying that in one's life, one can feel the difference and see the difference, how one is actually overcoming the bad things in the heart and experiencing Krishna consciousness, at least in a primary way. Of course, one may be misled, or one may be overly sentimental, so therefore the balance is there, the Shastra. Srila Prabhupada, he would always quote Shastra to explain, to back up the points that he made. So it's a question of faith, Shastra-based faith, which is bolstered by one's practical experience in Krishna consciousness. That faith is also a gift from Krishna, that he gives faith in whatever we may wish to believe in. Tasya tasya achalang shradham tameva vidyadhami aham. Even to people who they go toward the wrong path, Krishna also gives them faith in that because they so desire it. So to a large extent it's one's sincerity. If someone is going off or is giving a wrong, has placed one's faith in someone and then they're veering off the right path, that is also to be studied by Shastra. It can be difficult in the beginning to understand, because often deviations from the path are subtle in the beginning. So it requires, as in Vedic culture, it's constantly examining each point from the background of on the basis of Shastra, under the guidance of a guru, and one may express one's doubts. That's not forbidden. It's not wrong to express doubts. It's required, because that's exactly what Krishna did with Arjuna. Krishna asked Arjuna, "Are your doubts all cleared?" Krishna said, "I'll now speak to you in such a way, asangshayang samagrang mam, yatagyasasi tachrinu. I'll now speak to you in such a way that your doubts will be cleared." So doubting is allowed, not perpetual doubt or skepticism, but if one has doubts and hears good instruction on the basis of Shastra, then the doubt becomes cleared. If it's not cleared, then one may think that the guru who is teaching me is wrongly instructed. So it requires this understanding. It requires a lot of hearing, exchange between guru and disciple. One disciple means he submits himself to hear from the guru. Nowadays, it seems to be often seen as more like the peripheral exchanges, like the guru smiled at me or something like this. I got some of his Mahaprasad. These seem to be promoted as the essence of the guru-disciple relationship. But the essence is a lot of hearing of shastric topics and then acting on that in service. So by hearing and then applying one's mind, trying to understand, shravan, manan, nididhyasanam, applying that in one's mind and making guru mukha, padma vakya, chitete, koriya aikya, making it one with one's heart. So a lot of hearing back and forth. And on that basis, one may sometimes accept some things that the guru says, which on the surface may seem to be against the base, against shastric conclusions, just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He arranged for meat to be served to Westerners, the governor of Bengal, who came to Mayapur. None of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples questioned Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's doing so, understanding that Saraswati Thakur was everything he was doing was aimed at fulfilling the ultimate purpose of Shastra. So sometimes one may break one rule of Shastra to fulfill another. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that a sannyasi, or actually any follower of Vedic culture, is not supposed to go outside India. They're not supposed to cross the sea to the land of the Mlechas. But then Prabhupada, he said that, well, then how can Krishna consciousness be spread all over the world if I don't do that? So in this way, Shastra Yukti Sunipun, one who is expert in harmonizing the apparently contradictory injunctions of Shastra, is accepted as Uttamadhikari. So there's faith, and at the same time, always balancing that or supporting that with shastric understanding and with faith in the ultimate objective, that we are to go to Krishna. We have to go to Krishna. This person will guide me to Krishna. The guidance I'm getting will take me to Krishna. And if we find something that is it may be that we find something is, we perceive it to be inconsistent with that, then we can express a doubt. And if we're not satisfied, then we can go on expressing the doubt, as Arjuna did. It's practically throughout the Gita, he's still at the beginning of the 18th chapter, he's still hadn't worked out what is tyag and sannyas, which he'd been asking practically in the beginning of the third chapter, beginning of the fifth chapter, and then again he came back to practically to the same subject at the beginning of the 18th chapter, and Krishna was willing to explain that to him, so that as long as his attitude was submissive and trying to understand. So one's own intelligence is always a factor. One should not be over intelligent in thinking that I know better than someone who's clearly self-realized. But at the same time, we may see that someone may have attained a very high status, but they may be saying something which is not in line with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. who is to say? Ultimately, one's heart has to be satisfied, which puts one on a very, you could say that puts one on a very dangerous ground. But then one's sincerity comes in there. Praying to Krishna for proper guidance. But basically, one doesn't surrender until one is satisfied that this person can guide me. It's not that you understand everything before you accept a guru, but you're satisfied that Krishna has sent this person who is competent to guide me. And from there you go forward. And so in going forward, that means that the basic understanding is there, that Krishna has sent this person and therefore his guidance is perfect. And it's only in an extreme situation that one would reject that. Basically, one understands guru is in line with the previous acharyas and with Shastra. So there are some points to consider about that discussion.